Well, good morning again, everyone. For those who might be joining us, my name is Justin Morris. I'm the youth pastor here at Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church, and just want to thank you again for being here on this Sunday, especially like you saw, Grad Sunday is an exciting time for us. And I remember my high school graduation, some parts of it really specifically. I remember waiting in line before you go on stage and watching everybody go and have this image of people going. And then I remember the part where after you've gotten your stuff, when you stand and you pose for your picture, I remember standing there and posing for that. And I remember the feeling of being finished and that relief and that excitement with my friends, and we're all super excited. And I just think back to that time, and I think about the words of wisdom that must have been shared by all of those people that I sure didn't listen to. You know, I don't remember a single speech. I don't remember a single word that was spoken. I guess my valedictorian speech, I remember parts of it because there's a video of it, and I've seen it a bunch since. But all of those other things, you know, you hear all those speeches, these people that are wise and have gone through life, and they're sharing kind of like their words of wisdom for you. And you know, I just didn't listen. And I think part of that is because sometimes we hear things, but we don't really listen to them. You know, somebody says something, and you don't really take it to heart. And I was asking my wife, I said, I need a good illustration of like when I've heard something but I haven't actually listened to it. Is there anything that you can think of? And she goes, the list is long. I won't bore you with that large list of things. The point is that sometimes we hear but we don't actually listen. And we all struggle with this. I mean, for example, have you ever been in a conversation with someone? And as they're talking and you're just kind of like listening, and then there's this pause in the conversation and you're like, why is there a pause? And you look at them, and they've got that look. There's this horrifying moment where you realize they've asked you a question, and you have not been listening. And you go, say that again? You know, and you have to admit that you haven't been listening. Or there's, of course, times where your parents might have been saying something to you, words of wisdom. Make sure you don't do this, and make sure you do that, and we don't pay attention. In marriage, of course, when there's somebody's talking to you, and you're not paying attention there, you're not actually listening, or you decide, oh, I don't need to take that piece of advice, I'll do it my own way. Or when there's an argument between two people, and you might have been involved in this argument, but you see, you know, especially when you look outside of an argument, how two people are arguing, and they're both saying different things, and each person in the argument feels like, if the other person just understood what I am trying to say, there would be no argument. And so they are just convinced at saying their point over and over and over until the person hears. But the other person feels the exact same way. They're like, if the other person just understood. And so then they're just missing each other completely because nobody's actually listening to each other. We get these arguments where it just goes on and no ground changes until they do. Or sometimes even just simply, and this happens to me at youth group far too much, where somebody will introduce themselves, a new student will come in and I'll say hi and welcome them, thanks for coming, what's your name, my name's Pastor Justin, that's great. And then I like turn around, feels like 3 seconds later and I've forgotten their name. So I have to like stop and turn around and be like, I'm so sorry, what's your name again? And then I have to try to commit it to memory. So that happens far too often where I'm like, I had to turn around and say that. And for small things like that, it's not a big deal because I can just turn around and apologize and ask their name again and get clarification. But sometimes when, you know, we might hear things but we don't listen, those can be bigger circumstances, like in your marriage or at a job or things like that with friends, and you're not actually paying attention to those things. Well, Jesus talks about something that's even more important. In the parable of the sower that we're going to talk about today, and this is in Mark chapter 4, so if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Mark chapter 4, and of course it'll be on the screen and it's also on the back of your bullets. But in Mark chapter 4, we're talking about the parable of the sower and the seed, and many of us are familiar with this, we've heard this before, and there's not a lot of room for interpretation because Jesus actually tells us what it means in this passage, and so we're going to read through this, but he says here that it's important how we listen. That we don't just hear something, but we actually take it to heart, that we actually listen to it. Because many have heard, but not understood his word. So let's read together Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, again he began to teach beside the sea, and a large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came up and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. and it immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell onto good soil and produced grain, growing and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And then when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are like those sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But these that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And I'm reading the next section here because he kind of emphasizes the listening point. He says, "And then he said to them, 'Is a lamp brought in to be put under the basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" So in this parable, verses 3, 9, 12, 23, all talk and tell us that this is a problem of hearing. We are given four examples of how we might listen in this parable. And the first one in verse 4 is the hard path. And this is where the devil, he says, comes and snatches the word after they hear it, and they miss God's plan for salvation. This is a hard and trampled path. This is where people walk and the dirt has been pressed down. And this part is in two parts, right? You've got the hard path, and then you've got the birds that come and snatch it. And so the hard-packed soil is like a hardened heart, where it's almost impossible for the seed to take root. And there are people who you can share God's word with them, but they don't make a connection between the claims of the gospel and their own life. And maybe they're just calloused and cold towards the things of God. They refuse to hear. Maybe they're uninterested. Maybe they feel like, "Oh, I've already learned all that stuff about religion. I don't want to have anything to do with world religions or organized religions," or whatever it is they tell themselves, but they've got this hard heart, and maybe for years against the gospel. It's just like the hard paths trampled underfoot. And they're hardened to it by their own choice. And then when the seed comes, when somebody sows the word, when shares the word with them, it can't penetrate their heart. And the devil quickly comes and snatches it away, distracts them from it, or does whatever it takes to steal that word from them. And they're usually sincere. They're not usually bitter and resentful, although there are many who are. But sometimes that can be more deceptive. Sometimes somebody can just be like, "You know what? I'm just resolutely against that. Christians can believe whatever they want to believe, that's fine, but I am resolved against that." And then the second and third soils are the person who receives God's word with joy at first, but they respond with a superficial enthusiasm. Now this, don't be confused, is not true faith. It looks real and it sounds real, and they may even say and do all of the right things. They'll come to church, they might be generous with their money, and they might participate in ministries, but it only lasts until things get difficult, or until life throws you a curveball, or some other distraction comes up, and their faith is tested, and then they fall away. They have failed to really listen and to really understand God's word. And then, when something comes up, when the questions get too hard, when they get persecuted for their faith, they just fall away. Their faith withers, and they miss God's plan for salvation. In Luke's account of the parable of the sowers, he makes that very clear. And the difficult truth here in this means that there are people, and probably people in this room, who are this soil. And this is a difficult truth, and this means that this soil has received God's word with joy, but it's only a matter of time until the trials come, because they have never truly believed and they have never been saved. And we see this illustrated in John chapter 6, verse 60. And Jesus has been teaching his disciples. There's a large crowd of people that have been following him. These are called disciples and followers of Christ in John chapter 6. And he's teaching his disciples, and he starts to teach about how he is the bread of life and he is the way. And some people start to realize that he might be claiming some level of divinity in his words. And verse 60 of John 6 says, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?' Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, 'Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life.'" And then verse 64 says, "Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him, in verse 66. So these are people who called themselves disciples. These are people who followed Jesus and wanted to learn more about his teaching. They're the perfect illustration of the soil, and some of you may be like these disciples, following Christ until it gets too difficult or until the questions get too hard. And this person will actually miss out on all of what God has in store for them. And anecdotally, I see these two soils in students all the time. You know, I see students who get very excited about Jesus. I get to see them, you know, they might get baptized when they're in junior high or something like that. And then their friends really start pushing them on what they believe. They start challenging their worldviews. And I've even seen some students who will come to youth group and they'll come every week. And they'll ask these hard questions and they'll try to push back and they're really aggressive. And we walk through some of the answers to these questions and they'll say, like, why is there evil and suffering in the world if God is so good? And you walk through these things with them and you share the answers with them, but they just don't like the answers. They just don't like it. And their heart is hard. And then there are people who get excited about Jesus, but as soon as they're ridiculed and conflicted and their faith withers. And that third soil I see when students, of course, in getting into high school and especially into university, you know, they start to experiment with alcohol and drugs and sex and things of the world, and they start making money and they start making relationships their main pursuit, and they're choked out of their faith. And at worst, their faith dies, and at best, they look like grain, but they produce no fruit. And they might be like many in the church who look like grain but produce no fruit. I believe these soils represent the same type of people who Matthew says in chapter 7, "Lord, Lord," but they will not enter the kingdom of heaven because Jesus will say, "I never knew you." Now, I'm not saying Christians who struggle with their walk or struggle with these big questions aren't really saved. I'm not saying that at all. And in fact, we're not even supposed to judge the heart of other people in that way. But God is saying here in the parable of the sower that individually we must be careful how we listen, because we may have heard and responded, but not truly understood. And it is a sad reality that many students who grow up in the church end up walking away from their faith after they graduate because they have not understood God's word. And when those temptations and those trials come, they fall away. However, God does provide us with the image of the good soil and how we should listen. It says in verse 20, "But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit." So how do we listen well? Well, it says when we hear the word, we will retain it and persevere. This is God's power moving through an individual. When life's trials and temptations come, the good listener has accepted what they've heard and they persevere in his strength. They abide in him and they make it through the trials and they praise God. This is why in verse 24 it says, "Pay attention to what you hear." So how do we know if we've listened well? Well, we're not to judge others on how they've listened, like I said, but we are to examine ourselves. And there was this great verse in Corinthians that just when I was going through university and I remember just thinking about my own faith, this was a verse that I just came back to and I realized, like, man, I have to make sure that I understand this. And it's 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." So we're supposed to test ourselves. And then in Mark 4 here, we're given a test of how we listen and how we hear God's word. And so maybe today you identify with one of these four soils. In fact, I'm sure you probably do. Maybe it's the first one. And you don't think that you've really considered and understood what God is saying through his word, and you've maybe rejected it altogether. Maybe you feel that you already know all of the answers. Perhaps your heart is hard. Or perhaps you can identify with the second or third soils. Maybe you've received it with joy at a time, but since then you've walked away from him. Perhaps you feel like you're being choked out by the things of the world and other things in life. Maybe you attend church as much as you can, maybe because you're supposed to, maybe that's proper for you. But you're busy with family and work and sports and school, and you feel like, you know, it's just pretty hard to balance church and your relationship with Christ as priority in your life. Or maybe you're experiencing some of the tensions of the world. Maybe the worldview of Christianity and the worldview of the world seems to come in conflict. There are lots of things that don't work together. You take any of these big, hot topics that exist, and your worldview will constantly conflict with a Christian worldview. Maybe you don't feel like you have enough time to spend loving others or to spend time in the church ministering. Maybe you feel like, you know, I've got a family to worry about. I'm just going to pour into them, and I don't have time to really love other people. Maybe you feel like, well, I don't want to share my faith with other people because, you know, we shouldn't be pushy about religion. We don't want to push our faith on other people. We should just let people come to their own conclusions on their own. So I'm not going to share my faith with other people, even though Christianity and the world clearly says that we need to share the gospel with others. And these conflicting worldviews, maybe you notice that you are one of these soils because you're really struggling. Maybe feel like your life just doesn't produce any fruit. You see no fruit for God's kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit in your life is lacking. You don't see faith, gentleness, peace, kindness, self-control, any kind of Christ-like behavior in life. Just might become situational. You don't feel the Holy Spirit moving through you. Or perhaps you're still living in that superficial enthusiasm for Jesus, and the time of testing and trial is still to come. But for all of you, it is not too late to start asking God to open the eyes of your heart. Because here's the thing, God is in charge. When it comes to who will know him, when it comes to making that seed grow, you know, we can sow seed all day, we can share the word all day long, but the Lord is the one who will change your heart. So we can pray and we can ask God to help you understand what God is saying to you. We can pray today and ask him to open the spiritual eyes of our heart and the ears of our heart to understand the preaching of God's word and to be saved. And then maybe this morning you can identify with the fourth soil. Of course, many of us can. And then be reminded this morning to be faithful, to retain the preaching of God's word, to persevere, to abide in Christ, to rejoice in what God is doing in and through your life, in and through our church and through other believers and through other ministries that are just at work and God is moving through and producing multiple harvests, and continue steadfast in following Jesus and being the sower of God's word with others. And he will produce a crop through you, and it will be amazing to see what God can do through you as you sow his word. And you may not even see a lot of that multiplication of fruit in your life. There are so many times where we will share the word of God faithfully, or we'll do something kind to someone, but we have no idea the ripple effect that that could have and how God is being faithful to produce a huge harvest through you. And when I say that, I think about this man named Wayne Friesen. And Wayne Friesen was a missionary with Northern Canadian Evangelical Missions. And so he did most of his missionary work up in Northern Canada. And this little Baptist church called him to do a family retreat at their church to speak there. And I remember sitting at that retreat, listening to this man tell me the gospel for the very first time. And after he spoke, and I went and talked to him, and he shared one-on-one with me the gospel, and I received it there, and he went off from that camp and back to his work that he was doing. And after he left, the Spirit of God transformed my life and just started to to do amazing things in my life and bear fruit in my life. And it was about 10 years later, and I thought, you know, he probably has no idea the impact that he had just by being faithful to show up to that little church camp in southern BC. And so I hunted down his contact information. I found his email, and I actually emailed him and said, Mr. Friesen, my name is Justin Morris. I was at this little retreat you were at, and I just want to say thank you. And I shared with him kind of all the cool things that God had been doing through my life and the ways that God had borne fruit in me and through me. And it was so awesome to be able to just let him know a little glimpse of something he might not have known. And it just makes me realize that much of what we do and much of the way that we love and put ourselves out there and share with others can go unnoticed. But God is faithful. God is faithful to produce a huge crop through us. And we need to examine ourselves. We need to be careful how we listen. And if you already know that you've not been listening well, let's ask God that he would help you truly understand his message. And then afterwards, you know, just encourage you to talk to somebody about it. If you want to be the soil that produces this huge harvest, listen well. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and open our hearts to understand your word? Father, there are some here who don't even know that they haven't been listening well. They need you to reveal their need. Father, would you bring conviction and understanding so that your grace may abound in their life? Father, there are some here who feel like they're just not bearing fruit in their faith. Some people are feeling like they're that soil that they look like a stalk of grain, but there's so much stuff around them, they're just not able to see or produce any fruit, and they should be worried. Father, would you lead them to your truth? And Father, I'm sure there are some here who feel like they're that third soil where they don't see the fruit in their life, but really, God, you are faithful. Would you bring them the truth, and would you bring them clarity in how you are being faithful to them? Would you draw us all to the faith that we could hear and we could trust in your word? And for those, God, who are bearing fruit, we humbly ask for more of your harvest. We ask that you would use us to sow your word of truth to the world and your great love to others. And Father, again, we remember our graduates this morning, that you would transform them. We ask that you would shape them into the image of Christ, and as they go on to new things, that you would bear much fruit in their lives for your glory. Matthew 7, Jesus says, that everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Make sure that your rock is the foundation, or make sure that your foundation is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen.